And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
When something happens in South Central Los Angeles, nothing happens. It's just another day.
Ice Cube, a 90s gangster rapper and co-founder of the controversial group NWA, built his career rapping about social injustices. Over the years, he's transformed himself into an actor and now businessman and owner of the successful Big Three Basketball League. Last week, Ice Cube found himself at the center of another cultural controversy after he announced plans to work with the president on what Trump called his platinum plan.
Sorry, y'all, I ain't got no haters. Everybody love black ass Darth Vader.
For Ice Cube, it mirrors his own initiative, Contract with Black America, pushing for bank lending and finance reform and to empower blacks to invest. Many of his fans vowed to disown him. Ice Cube has been a vocal critic of Trump, who's been a vocal critic of Black Lives Matter, calling them a symbol of hate. But politics aside, this controversy has shined a spotlight on similar prosperity movements taking place across America, including right here in Tucson. And this effort to achieve justice in our system of capitalism is spreading within the Latino Hispanic community. Thanks to local investors like Francisco Moreno, he's empowering dozens of Latinos of all ages by teaching them how to invest and build wealth. Welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My goal is to give voice to Latinos by bringing diversity into the conversation. We'll talk politics, music, food, art, and culture, and share those stories through the lens of how Hispanics see everyday life in our beloved Old Pueblo. Today, I want to talk about the importance of learning how to invest and build personal wealth. According to the Pew Research Center, a majority, 81% of white households own some stock, compared with 31% of black households and only 28% of Hispanic households. So how do we accumulate wealth? My guest today is Francisco Moreno. He's originally from Compton, California, but grew up right here in Tucson and graduated from the University of Arizona with a degree in political science and economics. Today, he owns two companies. One is called Tu Casa Arizona. He buys distressed houses, fixes them up, and then helps families achieve the American dream of home ownership. His second business is Invierte en Mí. Francisco conducts how to invest classes in English and Spanish. To date, 50 students have graduated from his course. Soon, he plans to expand his investment courses to Mexico. Francisco Moreno, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for having me and your great program. I appreciate it.
All right. What inspired you to build your own wealth, start Invierto en Mí, and then use this expertise to teach other Latinos, Hispanics on how to invest?
Well, my journey started a long time ago. A little bit about my background. I'm from Compton, California, born and raised there. And my mom's from Nogales, Sonora, and my dad's from Guadalajara. And sometimes when things happen in our lives, we feel like we're being shorthanded, right? But it actually is a blessing in disguise. Invierte en Mí started when I was in L.A., my mom cleaning a very wealthy man in Pasadena's his home, Mr. Johnson. He taught me the importance of real estate and investment. I was only 8 years old, 9 years old at the time. I can't recall. But he told me there were four things, Francisco, you have to remember in life. Number one, get out of the hood. He said, get out of Compton. get out of the hood. Go to college, do something, but you got to get out. Number two, you got to be good with people. You got to help out people. You got to give back. Number three, you got to learn about the stock market. You got to learn about real estate. And if you do all those four things, Francisco, I remember he called me Frankie. He said, Frankie, you're going to be very successful. I follow his path, his advice. I never forgot about that. I went to college. I did the whole thing that we were supposed to do as Chicanos, Mexican Americans, first generation students and family members. I wanted to follow that path. But once I realized that that path wasn't what Mr. Johnson told me about, I said, okay, I got to rethink that. But my passion with education and I started these businesses in the side where I worked for Pima Community College and I worked for San Miguel High School. I always had the passion for the stock market and I've been doing it for over 15 years now.
Straight out of Compton. You're not a rapper, though. You're an investor.
Rapper, no. Yes, sir.
Way to go, man. So You talked about Mr. Johnson teaching you how to invest. Is it too late for older Latinos, Hispanics to learn how to invest, especially in today's stock market?
Oh, no, no. He used to say this to me all the time. He says, Francisco, you're already past fifth grade. And anybody who's past fifth, who knows fifth grade math, could be an investor. So I was blessed to learn from him in the beginning. But then I also, throughout my journey, I was able to meet other investors, other mentors. Some mentored me for free. Some I did have to pay for the mentorship services. Everybody has an opportunity to learn this. If you know math, if you know subtraction, division, and percentages, you could do the stock market. There's no guru. I mean, we have those barriers, and that's why I think Invierte en Mí started, because I really wanted to give that shot to my son. My son is 17 years old, turning 18, and he said, "Hey, Dad, I remember you do this. Can you help me out now? I have my own account. It's just March. We're talking about March of this year." And I said, "Mijo, if you're going to start investing, well, this is the perfect time, the perfect storm to learn this." And I picked him up as my first pupil, and I showed him what I was shown many years ago. And when he picked it up and he was doing very well, I said, "Wow, maybe I could duplicate my efforts in five different people." And I did that, and I put my system to work on those five different individuals across the country. And that's how Invierte en Mí came to be, because it was helping minorities, especially Latinos, to break the barrier that the stock market has been for us, right? Because in our family, we don't learn about investment. We don't sit down and talk about it. But in the Anglo, the Caucasian family, they talk about Facebook stocks. They're talking about Microsoft stocks, and we don't have those conversations. We're trying to get our next meal. How are we going to pay our bills, right? Because I remember with my mom. So I understand that. So when I was able to do this, and I seen this happening to other families that we're touching, people are changing their lives. And the most important thing, my son is, he's on his way to college, but he says, "Dad, I want to go to work to Wall Street. I'm going to go to work and run a hedge fund." So that's the whole concept of changing lives, you know, and understanding some concepts and learning that you could make money without working like we, a lot of Hispanics typically work, like my grandfather did, right? Todos los días, from 6 o'clock to 6:30 in the morning, right? To 6:30 at night, so.
Yeah, and we talk about Latinos, Chicanos, Hispanics working. Work, 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 work. And for us, and us growing up in today's generation and past generations, investments and investing was saving money, pillowcase money, as I call it. So what do you say to young Latinos straight out of high school or young college graduates on the need to learn and start investing at a young age? How do you inspire them?
When I started investing heavily and I started getting more involved in the market, we're talking 2002 and 3. And back then, we didn't have Robinhood accounts. We didn't have all these E-Trade accounts that they're now apps, right? And anybody could do it. I mean, you're in class. It's just getting educated, learning the simple concepts of what the market is. What is the Dow? What does it mean? What is the Dow Jones? You see it all the time in the news. I remember you seeing the news after you talked. There was today's Dow Jones is, because this is red. This is 200 points or 300 points up. What does that mean? Just getting educated on that. And also put some money there to work. I'm not saying to bet the whole wheel, but put a couple bucks that you could afford, you know, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever it is. And now there are funds now that you could buy fractional stocks. So say you don't have all the stocks that you want to buy. Say you can't afford, for example, this Amazon is $3,000, $3,200. You can't afford that. But there are funds out there that you could buy a fractional. If you have $10, Steve, you could buy Amazon. You could be part of Amazon. So this stuff didn't exist 15 years ago. Before it was go get hire a financial planner, which they're great people. Brokers are great people. I have some of those too. But for me, it's educating yourself, because nobody, Mr. Johnson used to say this to me, Francisco, nobody's going to take care of your money the way you're going to take care of your money. So you got to learn the basics. I mean, even if you have people managing your money, or you have a 401k out there or a 403b, you have to learn the basic stuff. Like, what is an ETF? What's a mutual fund? I mean, just basic stuff that anybody, just by reading it, you'll understand it. A fifth grader could understand it. So just starting out, put some money aside. I mean, you go out there and blow in a week and $100. For example, right now, I just put on Facebook. I said, "Hey, buy Apple. It's $112. Or you go buy the iPhone, which is worth $1,000, right? What do you want to buy?" So priorities, right? So basic stuff like that.
When we come back, We'll continue our conversation with Francisco Moreno and learn more on his greatest achievement as an investor. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Similar to the sound of school bells, the New York Stock Exchange's opening and closing bells mark the beginning and end of each trading day. Tucsonan Francisco Moreno wakes up early every morning to trade stocks and teach other Latinos how to navigate the stock market and buy smart and profitable investments. Here's a testimonial from one of Francisco's students who is now experiencing his own success as an investor.
My name is Michael Munoz, and I'm a student in Francisco Moreno's Invierto en Mi class. I've known Francisco for many, many years. From humble beginnings, we worked together at Peter Piper Pizza on 12th and Valencia in Tucson long ago. So I trusted, I've always known him to be a good man. I trusted him to take this course with him, and it actually is going to change my life. I look at finances and money in a different way. I'm actually learning a skill set that is going to create income that I will always have, that I can pass on to my children the way he's passing it on to our community. I appreciate that he's teaching our community, Latinos, Mexicanos, how to empower themselves and to gain some confidence and a skill set in managing money.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. When it comes to investing, a Pew Research study shows the median investments also vary based on ethnicity. Among whites, the median investment is $51,000. By comparison, the median for black families is $12,000, and for Hispanic families, it is just under $11,000. Let's continue our conversation with Francisco Moreno. He's the owner of Invierte en Mi, and more important, he uses his expertise and success in investing by teaching other Latinos how to build personal wealth in the stock market. How long does it take to learn the basics of investing in stocks?
It's a lifetime learning. But the basic is very basic. I have a course. I teach in 30 days, you know, somebody the basic stuff. But you become a life learner. I never stop learning. I've always continued my learning education. I've always continued. I'm actually taking a course starting in January when a gentleman is going to teach me his method. So you always learn. But once you understand the whole concept and the whole theme, Steve, that people get confused is that there are over 10,000 stocks in the stock market. Don't do those 10,000. Just do 5. I teach people just to learn 5 stocks. That's all you're going to do. It's like dancing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You only stay in that box. You don't care. If you like technology, then go for an Apple. Go for a Microsoft. I mean, if you like healthcare, go with Modere. Or just buy the whole sector, which is an ETF, right? You buy the whole thing and you're fine. So once you feel like you feel comfortable, and stocks are like kids. They move and you find a pattern. And once you start finding that pattern, a pattern reveals itself. And you'd be like, for example, Apple. We're talking about Apple. Today, Apple dropped to 112. When this show airs, I believe Apple will be probably at 113, 115. It'll be higher than it is right now because Apple tends to move very well, and Apple is the biggest company in the world. You know, so when you see a fire sale and you understand how Apple works, you're going to be like, oh my God, I wish I had more money to put in there because it's going to go up again, right? So once you understand the pattern of those 5 stocks that you enjoy, or I also tell people, where do you like to shop? And they say, I like Target. Well, go buy Target stock. You like Albertsons, go buy Albertsons stock. Stuff that relates to you, Steve, makes this, I call it a game, makes this game, which is one of the best games ever created, people always say. And you are changing your, because you understand. You know, people go to Buffalo Wild Wings. go buy Buffalo Wild Wings stocks. And that makes it more real for people and it more enjoyable.
You've talked about how to buy stocks, which was very simple and really realistic advice. What is your advice on when to sell a stock? Do you even mess with that in the beginning or you just leave it alone? Just buy, put more money into it, and let it ride?
Yes, Steve. It's very, first you got to decide what type of trader you're going to be. You're going to be a trader. You're going to trade stocks. You trade commodities. You're going to switch, or you're going to be an investor. Okay. An investor holds for a long time. Okay. Buys and holds. They're called buy and hold. I am a hyper. I'm an investor, but I'm also a trader. So a trader, my goal for my trade, and I tell everybody who trades with me, is you get 20% of your money and you're out. For a trader, for an investor, it's in the long haul, right? As you're accumulating wealth, you're accumulating shares could be passed on to your kids because of the different ways of investing. And I don't want to confuse people, but there are different ways. Investors, stocks, you could buy stocks and hold them forever and pass it to your kids. You could do that. Or you could be a trader and do like the options that I specialize in option trading. And options gives me more leverage for the same price, but it's also more riskier, okay? Steve, and then at the end, I could make more money with my options, but it's more risky. The downsides, I'm risking money to make that money, right? So some people don't feel comfortable. But for the beginners, you buy stocks, buy an ETF, buy a mutual fund. And if it goes up 20, 30%, just sell it. Sell it and buy something else. When, like, for example, today, classic example, the market is down almost 800 points. What will you do? Today is a discount day, right? You go in there, you buy stocks that you probably wouldn't want to own, but they were too expensive. Like, for example, Microsoft 2 days ago was at $220. Today, it's at 204. So it's a good day to buy.
How do you keep someone focused on achieving their financial goals, especially at a time when we all want and expect instant results on everything from news to the stock market?
It is hard. And that's the first thing I teach the students is the mindset. You have to control your mindset. I start my course with the rule of 72. That's a financial planner. Anybody who's in finance will tell you the rule of 72. That tells you how fast your money is going to double by the interest rate that you're given, right? So if you go in 3%, divide the rule of 72, is how long is it going to put $10,000? It's going to take about 24 years or 21 years, whatever it is. So once you have that rule in your mind, I tell my students, if you're making 3, 5%, 10% in a specific stock that you have, get out, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. The same way with the stock market. People say it's going to keep going up. It's not. Corrections are necessary in any environment. You need friction, right? And same thing with the stock market. You need friction. You need to have those corrections, those dips and downs. That's how we go up. If you see the market since 1920 has been going up and down for the past 100 plus years, right? And it's going to continue doing that. But the whole thing is you have to be able to control. My students, I tell them, if you're a trader, you're making 20%, get out. Get out of your trades. If you're a long trader, if you're long trade, then stay there forever. You know, it doesn't matter. If you own Apple, why are you going to get rid of Apple, right?
I mean, and then what do you do with that 20%? Do you put it in other stocks or you just...
Yeah, you put it out of other stuff. Or for example, in my case, I use it to live off. I mean, that's the reason I was able to leave my job to do that. Yeah, I mean, I live off my trade, but some people are not in that level yet. But if you get to that level, you could definitely have goals and sets. And that's why I try to teach people to do this. And as a trader, as an investor, it's long term. An investor, for example, like in the housing market, an investor is like, okay, I'm going to hold my house and I'm going to put a renter in, Steve. And I'm going to keep it for 20 years. That's like the stock guy. Okay, they're doing the same thing. They're holding for a long time. They want Apple to go from $112 to $500, right? A trader is like what I do with my flips. I get them, I hold them, and I flip them in 3 months, right? So this is the same concept, but different industries, right? So, but you're changing now. But anything you feel comfortable with, remember the average, I think that we're happy with 12%, right? So anything be up 12%, you're doing great.
You made a promise to your mom that you would pay off her house. Recently, through your hard work and success, investing and being an entrepreneur, you achieved that goal. We saw that on Facebook. You got so much response from all of your friends when you posted that you paid off your mom's house. How did that feel when you handed your mom the certificate showing you paid off her mortgage? How special was that for you?
Well, Steve, is one of the most special things I've ever done in my life. I think I still get choked up. I didn't know my sister was actually re-recording that, you know, until the end. But it was something that I promised my mom when I was 5 years old. I said, Mom, one day I'm going to buy you a house. It took leaving L.A., it took me 30, 45 years, whatever. But when I gave her that deed and it said, from now on, you will no longer have to pay a mortgage. And she started crying. I mean, it was emotional. It was some of my friends who were very successful have told me, Francisco, I wish I would have been able to do this to my mom. I never got the opportunity to do that. I'm so glad that you did. So it's one of the most, besides having my children, this is the second biggest moment in getting married, you know, third. But it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be able to show the love of a lady who, you know, she was a single mom and raised me, and it's the way for me to give back to her. So it was a wonderful feeling.
Amen.
Thank you for asking that.
When we come back, we'll have details on how you can sign up to take a course on investing from Francisco Moreno. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980, the law office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights, and theme music composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
I'm coming straight out of Compton. When something happens in South Central Los Angeles, nothing happens. It's just another day.
Ice Cube, a 90s gangster rapper with the controversial group N.W.A., now an actor and successful owner of the Big 3 Basketball League, found himself at the center of a modern-day cultural controversy after he announced plans to work with the president on a plan to push for bank lending and finance reform and to empower blacks to invest. Many of his fans vowed to disown him.
Sorry, y'all, I ain't got no haters. Everybody love black cash, Dark Vader.
Ice Cube has been a vocal critic of Trump, who's been a vocal critic of Black Lives Matter, calling them a symbol of hate. But this controversy has shined a spotlight on similar grassroots prosperity movement taking place across America, including right here in Tucson. Local investor Francisco Moreno is empowering dozens of Latinos of all ages and teaching them how to invest, build wealth, and retire with savings. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Let's continue our conversation with Francisco Moreno. He's originally from Compton, California, but grew up in Tucson and graduated from the University of Arizona with a degree in political science and economics. Today, he owns Invierte en Mi and teaches Latinos how to invest and buy stocks. What message would you like to hammer home on the importance of investing in the stock market and the need for Latinos, Hispanics to learn how to build personal wealth?
Well, the stock market has been always for Latinos and people of color has been underrepresented, right? We have never had a lot of representation there. And we need to be part of that conversation. I mean, now with the Me Too movement, now with the barriers are coming, we're going to have a lot of young Latinos and Latinas going into Wall Street. I guarantee in 20 years, Steve, we're going to have so many hedge fund managers, commodity managers, going to be Latinos and people of color, because we have never been given the opportunity. opportunity because we didn't have, it wasn't part of the good old boys club. It wasn't, I didn't know Mr. Johnson. I didn't know Mr. William, you know, or my grandfather was a hedge fund manager for Goldman Sachs. Now it's going to be an open door because the market in our society is changing completely. And as Latinos, we just have to learn simple concepts. It's not hard. You just have to take that fear out and try. Every time one of my traders puts a trade, I celebrate with them. I mean, I'm yelling and calling and all that stuff. And it's like we're playing a baseball game, right? And because it's a big thing for them to go from not knowing to knowing and to understand why they're doing that. It's a beautiful, beautiful journey. And they're making money. I mean, and you're creating wealth. And that's something that people don't, on your phone, on your computer. And it's a beautiful thing. Once they get it and they understand it, you're changing people's lives. And you're having these conversations, Steve. I have traders, they're telling me, Francisco, I'm talking to my 12-year-old, my 13-year-old, my 15-year-old son about the market. And they're getting engaged and they're talking about it. The communication is happening around the table in a lot of Latino families across the U.S. because I have students across the U.S. So it's a phenomenal movement, I call it. And I also did it because I felt that the stock market, and Mr. Johnson told me this, Francisco, the stock market does not discriminate against you. It doesn't matter if your last name is Nunez or Moreno or Lopez. It doesn't matter if you're a female or a male. It doesn't matter if you have a degree or not a degree. If you understand this game and you really get good at it, you could be very wealthy. And I never forgot those words. And that's what I want my Latino, my Hispanic people to understand this.
Let's say I have a small amount of money to invest. Is it even worth it?
Oh, yes. Of course it is, Steve. I mean, it's the beginning. Let me give you a story. I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter. Okay, 13-year-old stepdaughter. And I'm going to interview her. Now you inspire me to interview her. I'm going to interview her on my Facebook. She's 13 years old. She had $100. $100, Steve. And she said, hey, what do I buy? And she was interested in the stock market, and the market had crashed. And I said, what do you like? And I always asked, what do you like? She said, I like Snap. And I said, okay, great. Let's buy you some Snap. She opened a broker account under a minor. You know, her mom opened it up for her and all that stuff. And she put her trade. She bought 100. She bought 8 shares for $100. Okay, so she bought 100 shares. Now those shares are worth Snap. Look it up. It's $42. She got them at $11. So yes, any amount, Steve, could grow to something special. And now her portfolio is up 200. She's beating me. She's like, she's also telling me, look, my portfolio is up 200%. Is yours 200%? So it tells you that any amount of money, just get in the game. Get excited. I mean, flip the phone. I mean, we do all these date apps, right? You know, I don't date anymore, but people, you know, swipe left, swipe right. Why don't you swipe right for a stock, you know, or an option or whatever? Buy some oil. Oil right now is down 39 a barrel. 39, Steve. Remember it was at 75?
Yeah.
I mean, wealth is being created by people who know this. It's sad that we live in this pandemic. It's sad that we're, some people are losing their jobs, but some people are making, you know, moves and they're cashing in, and they're, you know, they're going to hold. For example, you're not going to buy the oil barrel and sell it tomorrow, but if you hold it for another 6 months, Steve, that's going to be back to $50. You know,
yeah.
And there you go. You made some money there.
You're at it every morning. How rewarding is it for you now that you're able to pass along that knowledge and inspire others to get involved with investing and really making a difference in their lives like that?
Yeah, it's very special, Steve, because before I would trade, I trade 30 minutes a day. Okay, for the past 15, 16 years, I've done that. My trades are from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, and I'm done in the morning. So when I started trading, teaching others, it gave me another opportunity to become a better teacher, become a trader, because I am not a teacher, but I'm not a teacher. I don't think I'm a teacher, but I just started teaching them the way I was taught by my old mentors. And when they started getting this, the light, and they got it and they understood, and I got those, like the testimony I shared with you, and people are writing and say, I'm learning and I'm making money. And it's a beautiful feeling because, I mean, one guy I remember broke down and he said, I made more in one day than I've ever made in one day working, a full day. I was like, wow. It is to teach those skills. And like I tell my students, it's easier to make your money, but it's harder to keep it. So my job is, once you make your money, how do you keep it from losing it, right? Because the market, you could lose. It could come down like today, right? But that's why we have strategies in place for people to take advantage of that. But it wakes me up, Steve. That's why I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning ready to go and see what the market is doing so I could teach my students. And I'm giving them real skills, See, that's the most important thing. I'm passing on real skills that if they continue working on those real other skills, they could teach their kids and their family members these skills. And that's how you create change. And that's what wakes me up every morning, because that's the only way that Francisco could have an impact in this world, by creating that type of change.
I'm also inspired by the fact that you only trade for half an hour a day.
Yeah.
I want to work half an hour a day, man, and make some money.
Yeah. Yes, I trade 30 minutes a day. That's it. And I monitor my stuff. But now, I mean, before, I used to trade every day. I mean, I used to sit there with 10 monitors back in the day. I don't want to do that, Steve. I want freedom. I left my job to be free, right? Yeah. To be my own boss.
How can we learn from you on how to invest?
I have my website. I only take 10 students every semester. Well, I record every month. I'm sorry, every month. 10 students every month. And it's just my website. I mean, you could follow me, Invierte en Mí, on my Facebook page that I have, or you could reach out through Facebook, Francisco René Moreno, inbox me, or you could email me at morenofrancisco182@gmail.com.
And the courses are 1 month long?
1 month long, 4 days a week. I trade Monday to Thursday with my students because I don't like to trade on Friday. I like to take my Fridays off. And I tell my students, try to get out of the market by Friday if you can. But yeah, Monday to Thursday from 7:30 in the morning to 8 o'clock. And then I do a Spanish version at 8 to 8:30. And I'm very excited that in November, I'm going to have my first core group from Mexico joining in. So I'm going to start teaching people in Mexico.
That is amazing. That is amazing that you're branching out and also teaching Mexicanos the value of investing.
Exactly. I cried, Steve, when I got my first student and he was successful and he posted, he made 10,000 pesos on my system. And I cried because here's a Chicano kid from his mom who immigrated from Mexico, now going back to Mexico through a computer to change people's lives in Mexico. It was exciting.
Well, Francisco Moreno, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. More importantly, thank you for all of your community work in teaching Latinos, Chicanos, Hispanics on how to invest in the stock market and build personal and generational wealth. You're doing an amazing job, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be in your program. Muchas gracias.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Let's switch gears and talk Prop 481 on the November 3rd ballot. Prop 481 is a proposed spending limitation override vote that asks voters to allow Pima Community College to spend millions of dollars beyond their constitutional spending limitation. That spending means new learning facilities and programs that benefit students. My next guest is Dr. Nicole Barraza. She earned her master's and doctorate from Stanford University in sociolinguistics and peninsular literature. She also taught Spanish at Pima Community College and is a campaign team member for Yes on Prop 481.
Dr. Nicole Barraza, welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Once again, explain Proposition 481 and how a yes vote will benefit Pima Community College students.
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize that Prop 481 is not a tax increase. It's essentially trying to adjust the expenditure limitation to approximately $11 million for Pima Community College. This means more money for students and more money for services that help students succeed without raising taxes. There's an expenditure limitation law, a statute that passed in 1979 that limits how much the college can spend on educational operations and student services, as I said, and it can only be changed by voters. So the Pima Community College Governing Board referred it to the ballot. It's important to know that our local college has the third lowest tuition rate of all community colleges. However, it is not allowed to spend, it actually is allowed to spend the least than all the other community colleges in Arizona. By voting yes on Prop 481, we'll correct this funding slight and give our college the same flexibility and investment as everywhere else in Arizona. That's up to $3,000 more per student without raising taxes.
So right now, Pima Community College has the lowest per student spending of any community college in the state. A yes vote would erase that.
Exactly. And it wouldn't raise it where its community college spends the most. It only would raise it to allow it to spend to the median. And this is from money it already is collecting, so it doesn't mean a tax raise.
As the saying goes, a skilled workforce lures tech companies that provide higher paying jobs. How vital is Prop 481 to Pima County's economy?
It's critical. As we all know, the college plays a critical role in the economic vitality of Southern Arizona because it trains our workforce. It also helps students who want to transfer to a four-year institution start at the college. And, you know, it's really a great place to start for a lot of our high school students that graduate and need to take additional college credit courses to be ready for college or a highly skilled workforce to come out.
What kind of community support do you have on Yes on 481?
We had 28 letters were submitted in support. None in opposition. The level of confidence and support from the community at large is a testament to the great work that Pima's leadership, faculty, and staff have done over the years. And, you know, we have business leaders, community leaders, everyone is supporting. Members from both sides of the political aisle are in support. And there's really no opposition to it because it really has no downside.
The support within the community from a lot of community leaders, is that a testament that 481 will definitely help our economy?
I think so. You know, the increase of approximately $11 million, which translates to about $3,000 more per student, will help students directly. It'll provide students with mobile computing devices for those that are unable to afford them. And this is very important now with, you know, the pandemic and how everything has been switched to virtually for the moment. It will help students with tuition assistance, more scholarship, increase student support services like tutoring and career counseling and advising. It will expand apprenticeship and internship opportunities, as well as increase access to childcare for students with children. And this, you know, I think is so important because a lot of students come back to Pima. They're reskilled. Going forward, students are not going to go to college once and then work in the same job their entire life. It'll be more of a work-learn model going forward. So this will allow more students to come back if they need to be retrained or reskilled in an area that is offering better wages.
Obviously, when it comes to an election, there's a lot of mudslinging and opposition promoting untruths, lies. Will Prop 481 money be used to pay administrators higher salaries?
Students are at the heart of this proposition, and it will be used where it's most needed. Right now, the college is restricted on educational operations and student services, and it is not restricted in spending on capital, which is basically building more buildings or servicing debt. So those two areas the college can spend in an unlimited way. This will give the college the flexibility to spend the money where it's most needed. And as we've seen with the pandemic, that's exactly what institutions of higher learning need. They need that flexibility to put the money where it is most needed and as things continue to change and evolve.
What happens if Prop 481 doesn't pass?
That would be very, very unfortunate because it has no downside for voters. If it fails, some of the programs won't expand. And for instance, right now, a lot of them have waiting lists. Whereas if it passes, the programs could double the amount of students that graduate each year. And that means more workers earning good paying, you know, at good paying jobs that continue to invest in our community. So if it fails, our programs won't be expanded. New programs won't be able to be added. Some of them are, you know, training in cybersecurity and IT, student services like tutoring, career services will be reduced, and tuition will likely rise. Less scholarships will be available. It will really hurt students the most.
And for those who don't attend or don't plan to attend Pima Community College, how do you convince them to vote yes on 481?
Well, first I would say, you know, most of us know someone who started their career at Pima, or we ourselves started there. The fact is that Pima has touched the lives of countless people in our community. It's a way to ensure that companies in our region continue to grow, that new companies want to come, and this will benefit everyone in our community.
You talked about the state legislature putting a limit on the amount of money Pima Community College can spend per student. Once again, explain how overturning this limitation frees up the college to do more for the students.
Well, it's more of an adjustment. So this flexibility would give the college the ability to expand, enhance, and add programs, as I previously said. For example, the adjustment would allow Pima Community College to double the number of students, as I said, that graduate each year in aviation and healthcare service programs like nursing. It would also help the college modernize and update the instructional equipment. Programs in manufacturing would be able to further incorporate augmented and virtual technology, robotics, and digital fabrication. And as we all know, for instance, cars are much different today than they were before. Now, with their autonomous systems and the increase of electric cars, making, repairing, and maintenance is no longer simply mechanic. Pima Community College's Automotive Technology and Innovation Center is at the cutting edge of training in these new technologies. And our local community has these jobs where when students graduate, they, you know, let them have a job upon graduation. It also helps add programs, as I've said before, in cybersecurity and IT. And it will also help support the academic programs that many students enroll in to then transfer to a four-year institution. So this will guarantee more students in our community are trained in high-demand areas. It will increase a highly trained workforce, and it will benefit us all.
Great things are now happening at Pima Community College. You give a lot of credit to Chancellor Lee Lambert. Why?
Well, before, I used to teach at Pima. I taught Spanish. And right when I started, the Higher Learning Commission placed Pima Community College on a two-year probation. It faced possible loss of accreditation. So I was able to witness firsthand the transformation that new leadership brought in the hands of Chancellor Lambert and the Pima Community College Governing Board. They not only fixed the programs, but they restored confidence in the management of the college. And this is very important because, as I mentioned, we have everybody, every leader in the community supporting this. And that's a testament to the leadership that we have. And so I think this is what they're trying to do is about the future. And the college wants to position itself and its students to be at the cutting edge of, you know, workforce development and getting trained in the academic programs for those that want to go to a four-year college. And so they're really looking to the future and how they can position the college to be able to continue with its mission of offering an affordable education that's high quality.
Are you convinced that a yes vote on 481 and freeing up this money to allow the college to spend more money on programs will be spent in the right way?
Oh, I'm positive. It's, you know, I think the college has a plan of where it wants to go. They have accountability and transparency, and they're headed in the right direction. They just need this flexibility to be able to do more.
Once again, a yes vote on Prop 481 will not increase my taxes, correct?
That's correct. It is not a tax increase. This was only giving the college the flexibility it needs to support students to succeed.
Dr. Nicole Barraza, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. If you haven't cast your ballot, make sure to vote yes on 481, an initiative to allow Pima Community College to spend more money on educational programs to benefit students. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you.
We should mention, Pima Community College was one of six colleges nationwide that was awarded $100,000 to train 600 unemployed and underemployed workers through the Education Design Labs Community College Growth Engine Fund. Congratulations, Pima. In closing, here's why it's so important for Latinos to vote. A record 32 million Latinos are eligible to vote. Two in three of those voters live in just five states, including right here in Arizona, where there are 1.2 million Latino Hispanic voters. The 2020 presidential election will be the first where Latinos represent the largest minority group of voters. Let your voices be heard, whether you vote Democrat or whether you vote Republican. Just vote. Our future depends on the power of our vote, including school funding. Now, just remember, it's too late to mail in your ballot. So if you know someone who needs a ride, help them by taking them to a polling site or drop-off location. And make no mistake about it, you can track your ballot to make sure it was counted. All you have to do is go to the county recorder's website at recorder.pima.gov/voter-stats/ballot-information. I pray, at the end of the day, you vote. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors. MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo. Tune in to Tucson's Hispanic Voices every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 right here on KVOY 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.